Well, it's 9:08 here in New Zealand. It's a good deal earlier in Australia, where our very first special guest comes onto the show this morning. He's been a regular on our show, and we're eternally grateful for that. Terrific touring professional in his own right, and has a proud record against the great man Tiger Woods, as we've discussed in the past. But he'll have been glued this time yesterday morning. Nick O'Hearn, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Smithy. I'm used to getting up early after watching the Masters.
Yeah, I know. Four days in a row, or four early mornings in a row for us over here too, mate. I can promise you that. First question, quite a basic one. How good is this guy? How good is Scheffler, in your opinion?
Oh, he's something very special, isn't he? And he's, it's hard to know where to start with him. I mean, tee to green, we haven't really seen anything like this since Tiger at his prime, I guess you could say. He was number one in, I think, strokes gained off the tee all week at the Masters, which is nothing unusual. Surprisingly, his iron play wasn't as sharp as it normally is. It's still very good. His short game is phenomenal. And the scary thing is his putting is, you know, it's good. It's not great, but it's good. So there's still room for improvement. And he's still winning these things by, well, four shots from Ludvig Åberg and then seven shots to third. So it's very scary what his ceiling might be. He's still got room for improvement.
Well, we saw some very, very good players fall away down the wayside there yesterday. You know, we had the likes of Max Homa. We had all sorts of players, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele hanging around. These are perennial, very, very, very good players. But it just seems almost that this guy might be getting to the point, like Tiger, when he's in or around the lead, he has a bit of a mental hold on some people.
Yeah, it's a bit of the inevitability factor, I think. Yeah, we saw him where there was four players at six under after he bogeyed seven. And I was thinking, okay, this will be interesting to see what happens. And there's nothing like live sport. I mean, it's one of the beautiful things in television that's left, really. It's the greatest reality show ever. And I was thinking, well, I wonder what's going to happen over the next three to four holes. And if you fast forward an hour, I think he had a three-shot lead. It was scary how he came back with three birdies in a row. The shot into nine was just fascinating for me. And Morikawa just kind of blew himself out of the water when he made double on 10, on nine. And then 11 really proved the turning point for Åberg. And then I think Homa got a very unlucky break on 12. And all of a sudden, Scheffler goes through those holes just very nonchalantly, and it was almost over.
And then, you know, I think there was a shot, was it on 14, the hole that splits the two gettable par fives on the back nine, knocks it stiff in there, and I think that was just the nail, wasn't it? At that point, I mean, you know, as you say, the iron play wasn't as good as it has been. It's just like, you know, you've played on this tour. I've been watching golf, serious golf, as long as it's been televised. And there's been those eras where you get someone, get their nose in front, and you think, well, that's it. It's done. It's dusted, because this guy just does not give it away. And I'm starting to feel the same about this guy. I outlined his record before. He's only won two majors. You know, he's three behind Brooks Koepka, for goodness sake. His record, if you stack it up against the greats, is far from great at the moment. Yeah, it's the feel about him.
It is, yeah, and it's the statistics backing it up as well. I mean, he's gone on a run the last probably 2.5-3 years now where his game is at a level which doesn't dip. I mean, the scary thing is when it does dip, he simply just has a top 10. He doesn't win. And the only person to ever do something like that was Tiger Woods, obviously. I think his biggest strength, and we all saw it over the 4 days, especially on the weekend, is his composure and how nothing really changes whether he has a good hole or a bad hole. And I think Ian Baker-Finch referenced it quite a bit through the coverage, where he says he's number one in bounce back. So what that means is whenever he has a bogey, he comes back with a birdie. Yeah. And time and time again, he did that, and no one else does it better.
Let's look at a bloke you've been able to stare in the face a couple of times and absolutely handle him in match play, which is, some say, the toughest form of all. Tiger Woods. When you look at Tiger Woods now, what do you feel, in all honesty? I mean, I made a point yesterday. Is this the Tiger Woods we want to see? I mean, he's great for TV ratings, Nick. We all know that. Television companies would like to see him probably allowed to play in a cart as long as he's out there playing. But when you see him, when you see his body, how do you feel about Tiger Woods at the moment?
Yeah, I love seeing him play out there, obviously, and the crowds love him. But to be honest, it's not sadness, but there's some sort of a. Yeah, I don't really want to see him hurting like he is. His upper body is the biggest I've ever seen it. He's always worked on his fitness and his gym work and everything, but his lower body obviously has its issues. And if you watch his swing, it's very much an upper body swing, and he's obviously putting a lot of stress on his lower back. And when he plays and bends down, you just feel the pain he's going through. And when he has to talk to the reporters afterwards saying, well, it'll be a long night of recovery and then an early warm-up session, you go, well, how often can you do that? And I guess he only wants to do it four times a year, but he is perhaps the most stubborn human being I've ever met, and the hardest worker as well. So he'll keep putting himself through this, and he needs to find golf courses which are obviously a lot flatter and a bit easier for him to play. And Augusta, he has the local knowledge, obviously, but it is the hardest walking golf course out there, and he did look in a lot of pain, and in a way it's a little sad to see him, you know, shoot an 82 on Saturday, which is his worst score ever, but he wants to continue doing it, and the fans will obviously let him, and he's also great for the game.
Ludvig Åberg, this guy's gone from, what, about 3,000 in the world to rank 7, I think, at the start of this tournament. Tell us a wee bit about him and his game, his nature.
Ooh, well, a year ago he was playing in a collegiate event called the Thunderbird College Tournament. So it shows you his meteoric rise. It's his first major he's ever played, obviously his first Masters, and he almost won the thing. I've heard a lot about this guy from my compadre on my podcast, Mark Allen, because he went to Texas Tech, which is where Ludvig Åberg also went. And he said, this guy is incredible. He's spoken to the coach about him, and he says he's one of the best he's ever seen. Well, he's the best he's ever seen. And I think Butch Harmon also said, you know, I can't wait to see what he can do out on tour as well, because talent-wise, it's unbelievable. And to watch him at the Masters yesterday, being in contention, and even when he made the double on 11, he walked up to 12 and was smiling and just had a wonderful way about him. And I think that's his greatest strength as well, is he doesn't let anything faze him. He's perhaps the best driver of the golf ball I've ever seen, for sure. And the rest of his game, there's not too many weaknesses as well. He has the perfect game for Augusta, and no doubt he'll win a few of these green jackets. But to almost win one on your first go is unbelievable.
There was an interview with Tiger saying it's inevitable that Rory will win one at some stage. Do you feel it's that inevitable or not?
No, well, yeah, I think each year as it passes, it's just getting harder and harder. And, yeah, again, Mark Allen and I, we had a bit of a jab at each other saying, who's the most notable person that won't be? You know, I pick Rory. He picked Scotty. I don't know why he picked Scotty, but I said, no, Rory won't, because I think the mental demons have just become almost too much now. And every time he shows up at the golf course, he seems to put so much pressure on himself. And every year he tries a different tact. I think he should just stick to one way of preparing for the tournament and then just trusting it and believing in it and seeing how he goes. But he doesn't quite have the all-around game that a Scotty does or a Ludvig has. And it's just going to get harder and harder every year for Rory there to complete the Grand Slam. In a way, he probably just needs to go out and win a couple of other majors, if that's you know, easier said than done, obviously. And then maybe when he gets to Augusta, he'll be a bit more relaxed and a bit more free.
A lot of talk too about Rory and the fact that he's got one of his great mates on the bag, and you know they clearly on course have a great relationship, etc. Do you think Rory at some point might benefit from a slightly more harder nosed, wizened old caddy?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think if he had someone like a Steve Williams or a Billy Foster or one of those guys, his original caddy JP, he was one of those hard-nosed kind of guys, and I really enjoyed hanging around JP and all those types of caddies. There's no BS with them. And when you get in those tough situations where your caddy needs to tell you things that you don't want to hear, I don't think his best mate's going to do it. And I've actually said that for quite a while now, that I think a change on the bag would do him the world of good.
Let's look, if we could, Nick, at the LIV showing in this tournament. And obviously, you know, the controversy is slightly waning a wee bit. These guys can just get on and do their business as what they are allowed to do in certain events. DeChambeau and Smith, very creditable performances, minus two. Hatton even, Reed plus one, Neiman plus four. Pretty healthy showing for guys that don't play, as they say, four-round golf anymore.
It was a good solid showing for him. There was a couple of surprises. I mean, DJ, he shot like 13 over to miss the cut. That was a bit of a surprising one. Phil still made the cut, as he does seemingly every year. I saw Greg Norman was out there as well, walking around. Apparently, he couldn't get a ticket though from one of his players. He had to buy one off the market or something, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But Bryson had the best shot, obviously. He shot 65 first day to lead, but it's always a golf course that he will struggle at on the greens because they don't allow green reading books there, and he's very much a scientific guy, so he doesn't quite have the feel on the greens. And I think we saw that over the weekend where he just couldn't make many putts, to be honest. So I think their best chance is going to be someone like a Reed to either get another jacket or Cameron Smith. Neiman, yeah, he's been playing very, very well. So good solid showing.
Okay, just a couple of Masters type unique issues just before we could say goodbye, Nick, if possible. Do you like the tradition of the Masters? Do you see it changing? I mean, one of the noticeable things I look at now with so much stadium golf is crowd behaviour, which is phenomenally different at the Masters. No cell phones as such. People so much more polite, well dressed. All that sort of thing. I mean, do you think that will stay? Do you look at that and you like it?
Love it, absolutely love it. The no cell phone policy, I think, is the best thing ever at a sporting event, which is a weird thing to say, I know, because everyone wants to capture it. But if you notice the patrons, can't call them fans or spectators, you'll notice all they're doing is watching golf. They're not looking at their phones, and they're in the present moment. And I think that's what they really love there. They do have a lot of rules like no running. You can't bring in any logo water bottles or anything like that. But that's their rules. And hey, if you want to go watch, you got to play by them. And I think it's fantastic. And I wish there was more of it in other sports as well.
There was also an article by Ewan Murray saying golf should now have a ladies' masters. They've made changes over the years. They've given a bit of ground, but how long before you think that might eventuate at Augusta?
Yeah, I saw Fred Ridley, I think, maybe talking about that in one of his press conferences. And I think the issue they have is how many weeks of the year can they hold tournaments? Because they do shut the golf course for quite a long time there to get it prepared. I mean, the no-brainer would be to have it the week before, but how much damage that would do to the golf course, I don't know. And I'd love to see a ladies' Masters, but I'm not sure that will happen in the next 10 years or so. It may come eventually, but wouldn't that be fantastic to have them at the same golf course as well? And I'm not sure what sort of jacket. It might be a skirt or something for the women. Who knows?
I saw Condoleezza Rice standing there, of course, one of the Foundation women members during the par three. She was on one of the tees at the par three. So obviously a presence there, but I think it might be quite a while. And Ryan Fox, Nick, we obviously, when you've got a horse in the race, you take a lot of interest in it. Foxy got murdered on the back nine, I think, plus 14 on the back nine. I think he was plus six on the, minus six on the front nine. So just patchy. Seems when Ryan has a bad patch, it's a bad patch, and it lasts for quite a while.
I mean, he played beautifully the first day, opened with a 69, but then unfortunately the next 3 days just couldn't maintain that pace. And it's an interesting golf course, Augusta, like that. You have your favorite nines, the front or the back nine. And I always enjoyed the front nine, but I found it tougher. The back nine, there was more opportunities. But the other thing with the back nine is more things can go wrong at the same time. So if you're not quite on top of your game, the back nine plays a little bit harder, and he obviously found that. But the more times he goes there, and the more times he sees the sun, you know, the Sunday pins and the different conditions, I think the better it'll be for him. I ended up playing four Masters, and by my fourth one, I thought, yep, I've finally figured the golf course out. But unfortunately, I never got invited back.
Do you think that's what's on the eye sort of a thing? Because it just looks on the back nine, maybe a little, I'm not sure about more undulating, but certainly the presence of more water.
Yeah, for sure. There is a lot more water on that back nine. There really is none on the front nine. Just on the second, I guess, there's a creek running down there on the left. But other than that, it really all starts to come into you. You know, in Amen Corner is where it all starts to begin. And I think the history of that second nine is also maybe a little bit of a factor. You feel as though a lot of catastrophes have happened there, but a lot of great things as well. So there's nothing like the final nine at Augusta, that's for sure.
What's on the plate now for Nico Hearn? But have you got, in terms of golf, anyway?
Oh, a little bit of coaching here and there, some outings, corporate stuff. Got doing the podcast and a little bit of filming coming up as well. Going to do some instructional stuff. So, but no playing for me at the moment. No, I'm happy to just let everyone else do it, and a little bit of commentary later in the year. So, good fun.
Always great to catch up with you, Nick, and enjoyed your assessment of the Masters. A fantastic tournament again, and particularly you look at Scotty Scheffler, who is hotter than a hot thing at the moment. There's no doubt about that. Cheers, Nick. Have a terrific week, and thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Smithy. Take care. Cheers.